We're in Klal Peches. We are up to either Tes or Yud. Yud? In the middle of Yud. So we're up to Yud. That's what the voices from heaven say. We're up to Yud. We're in the middle of learning the halachis regarding a chayla. Chayla sheyesh pesakana. If you have a chayla who has a disease that threatens his life, we started this. That if somebody needs chametz, so the idea here is, even when there's a sakana, you have to do the small least iser that's possible. So you're going to have hana from the chametz. That doesn't mean that you have to own the chametz. So we learned this last time. Let's go through it quickly. In my dava bowl, if it's an emergency, you don't play around. You run to the store, buy chametz, and prepare it, and put it onto the injury. But if it's not rushed, it's not an emergency, and this time, you get a guy to buy the chametz and give it to the chayla, and you'll pay him back. And it's preferred, if possible, take the child or the person who's sick to the house of the guy, and to give him the chametz to drink there, that would be preferred. If not, you tell the guy to come to the house with the chametz. The Jew should not purchase the chametz and own it. Then it's his chametz. Gam lo yagdim lo mois amunais liktais v'menu chametz, and don't give him the money beforehand because kesef may be kaina. The gamzeh who chemtzai, it becomes his chametz. Al kashiyam aloi ten loy v'ani pareya lo mikri chemtzai klal. If you say buy it and I will pay, it's not his chametz. Now here's an interesting question: what happens if I go to the store, I buy something like every other customer? But I have in mind, beferish, I don't want to be kind of this when I pick it up and I take it home. In my mind, I'm saying very clearly, now this is many examples. Like one example, let's say I'm buying a Keurig machine. There's a shot of it, you have to title it. So I have an eitzah, let it stay the guy's. When you buy it, you're buying it from a guy. You have in mind, I'm not being kind of the machine, it's still the guy's. And you take it home. You take it home that way.
Did you pay for it?
I paid for it, but I don't want to be kind of even though I paid for it.
But you made the act of kesef whether you had in mind or not is a kinyan.
No, every kinyan, if I don't want, you can't force me to be kind of. If I would say beferish to the seller, I'm taking it from you, but it's still yours, I'm just taking it home, then certainly there'd be no question. The person could do that.
I'm taking it from you, but it's still yours, even though I'm paying for it.
Yeah, I'm paying you, and for my money, I have the right to take it home and use it, but it's, I want to use yours. There's no question a person could do that.
But
Shina Rishus is kind of by Gezel. When you steal something, you have responsibility against your will. It's true. It's the case we have Kinyanim, Kinyanim Gezel, you're right. I said you can't be kind of something against your will. A Goslin is kind of against his will. The difference here is that I'm not a Goslin. I'm giving him the money. And I'm telling him that you keep the money, I'm not taking it back, you have no loss, I just want it to remain yours. So why does he care?
He doesn't have the right to say that, though.
I have a right, why not?
The purchaser, the person from the company, the cashier is not going to, he's going to think you're crazy.
He'll think I'm crazy, that's fine.
He's not going to have in mind,
That's the question. I'll tell you another example. Somebody has matzahs. He wants to make an Erev Chaseris. Now, if I already own matzahs, I want to be makneh to everybody else, so I can't do it. I have to go find somebody. I have to go find somebody to do it with. Or I make it, when there's Erev Tashilin, the Rav is supposed to make Erev Tashilin, be kind of everybody within the Tchum that needs it. So what do? Erev Yom Tif, I go out in the street and I wait for a Jew to pass by. The last few years I go to the same neighbor. And I knock on the door and I give him an egg and a matzah and I say, do me a favor, pick this up and be kind for everybody in this room. Now I have an idea. I'm going to go to the store. When I buy the matzah, I'm going to have in mind, I don't want to be kind of it. Or better yet, I'm in the store at the cash out place and the box of matzahs. I pay for it and I lift it up and I say, I'm now kind of for everybody. Now, if I say it, there's no question it works. The question is, what is if I don't say it? I'm having this in mind. Anybody who sees me buying it in the store assumes it's mine. If I had it in Torah, I would win that it's mine. But it's believed, believe, it's Dvar Shem alive. Dvar Shem alive, I have a Dvar is only when it's a contradiction to what I'm doing.
Yeah, right? It is a contradiction.
It is a contradiction. Like it appears to be a contradiction. Okay, I maybe. You really could. You certainly could say it. You could say, if you say it, it'll work. If you say, look, if I own it, I can't be mevatelit. You're learning mesecta. Right? So I don't want to be kainit. If I say beferish everyone, I'm not kainit. I'm just picking it up. Because I want to get to a guy who'll be mevatelit. You can do that. The pasuk said, vayisa im David. Which, there are two types. You either David burnt them, David the Zara, or vayisa im, he picked them up, but he wasn't kind of them. He took them and he got, was it Uriachiti, who was still a guy at the time, Itai, he got him to be mevatel, then he owned it. So the question is, if such a thing works, it's Dvar Shabbalay, Pashtos, it seems to contradict what he's doing, and it would be a problem. Alright. So the question is, somebody's going to the store, he has to buy chametz for a chayla, and he has in mind, beferish, I don't be kindness, I don't know if having it in mind will be adequate. I guess he'll call together a few Jews. I'll tell them, look, I'm going to the store now, I'm giving you a mendoah, I don't want to be kind of chametz. So
but
perhaps that will work.
You have to be sure that this person in the store who you're buying it from is going to sincerely say, okay.
I don't know if I need him to do it because he can't force me to be kind of, and Goslin is different. But I'm not a Goslin, I'm giving him full money for it. I just don't want to own it, technically.
Once you pay in his mind, your card is
it doesn't money. Matter. In his mind, I'm kinda. It doesn't make me be kinda.
But it doesn't work unless he's kinda. In other words,
unless he accepts. No, but he owned it previously. Before I walked in, he was the owner.
And once you pay for it, he's assuming it.
He's assuming it erroneously. Now, if it's Dvar Shabbalay, it's something I can't prove, so that may be a problem. Because I can't prove it. But if I could prove it, if I go in front of witnesses and I tell them.
Chalamai, I go into the store. 71, Sanhedrin. I'm buying the macaroni, I'm not being kind of the macaroni. Okay?
Right.
I'm not being kind of the macaroni. Bring it home, put it in the back. So right after Pesach, I can cook my macaroni.
No. There's a problem that Yechai Bachriyusai. Something happens to it, you would have a loss. You write to be kiyumai. You want it to stay. There are secondary problems. But you're not kainit. That's the case. Here the case is a chel shesh for sakana needs the macaroni. That's our case. So you want to buy it.
That's my point. You can say all you want. You walk into a store, you pay for it.
You're not kainit. You can't be kainit something against your will. You can't be the legal owner of something against your will.
What does against your will mean?
That means when I don't want it.
I understand. I don't want to be over by you wrong. I want this chametz to get into my child's mouth.
But you don't care if it's a guy's chametz. Since you're from here, you don't want to own it. You just want the chayla to have the chametz. That's really what I was saying. Look, if you tell the guy selling it to you, it's going to stay yours, and I need it, then it certainly work. Then we all would agree if we speak out the arrangement. The only thing is where it's the Dvar Shabbalay is where it becomes unclear. The issue of Dvar Shabbalev is a very difficult issue of Chayshu Mishpat, because there is a Rajba that says that we only say Dvar Shabbalev on that Dvarim if it contradicts the action. Now you may be right here, it may contradict the action, or at least the apparent intent of the person. But it's hard, it's very hard how somebody Chay something against his will. You know, there's a case in the Gemara where Zachin Ladim Shalai Befanav. I can pick up something for you. Right? As a gift for you. I go on the street, I find an iPod charger. I don't need iPod chargers. I don't have an iPod. I know you do, so I pick it up for you. So you're kind of it. If you say, I don't take gifts. Very few people like that today. But a guy says, I don't take gifts. So you're not kind of it, even though I picked it up for you. But if you'll say, then you're not kind of it. So there could be cases where it appears that you're kainet and you're not. The most common of Dvarim Shebelev Shilas that people ask has to do with being meichel someone, something he owes you. It's a very common thing, not very common to most people, but a Rav gets a Shilas once in a while, where someone says, plenty owes me money, and I decided I'm meichel him, I'm not going to collect. Now he came to pay me. Am I allowed to take the money? I was meichel him. So someone asks me, I ask him, did you tell anyone that you're meichel him? If he says no, I tell him Devarim Shebelev Einam Devarim. There's a ktsais and some zayin right in the beginning of Chesher Mishpat, who has contradictions if Devarim Shebelev count. And he says that if there's no visible evidence that he was Meichel, that's Devarim Shebelev, the Mechila is not a Mechila. If you can see, he brings a raya, the Mishnah says if a woman doesn't collect a ksuva for 25 years, she can't collect it anymore. She was Meichel. So that's Dvarim Shebelev. He says, no, that's Dvarim Shebelev by Belev Kaladam. Everyone could see. There's an assumption. A guy doesn't collect for 25 years. She's not going to collect anymore. So that's a certain assumption. So when the assumption is visible, then it counts. When it's not visible, it's Dvarim Shebelev and it doesn't count. I must have told you the story that you know my stories with the fellow who lent money to his friend his whole life.
Yeah.
Remember? And there's a real honest-to-goodness thing about it. Somebody who had a childhood friend, he lent him money every time he had bar mitzvahs and chasnas, and the guy always told him, I don't know when I'll be able to pay you back, and after a while he was just meichel him. And when the guy turned 60 and he could collect, take his IRA, he said, I'm paying you back every penny. So he called me, he said, I didn't decide if I'm taking it. Am I allowed to take it? So first thing I asked him is if he told his wife, face meichel. He said, no, I would never tell her. He didn't tell anybody. It's Dvarim Shebelev.
We need a legal system changing money not necessarily ownership.
Taking possession.
Changing money does not mean.
But taking possession in a store does. If you go into a store, you pay and take it home. It does. So our question is whether it helps a person to have a mind, I don't want to be kainet. The first impulse is to say it works. I'm not kainet. The comeback is whether that's Dvarim Shebelev.
Even if you say it works, then you would still have to ask permission from whoever the cashier cannot use it because it's still
in theory, you have to ask permission. Well, there's an assumption that he gives you permission, it will be different. But yeah.
I remember in Spain there is law.
Who?
In Spain.
Yeah.
Law. Let's say you send a merchant just to someone, and then you don't pay him for money for 1 year.
Oh, really? For 1 year? Oh, in New York, there are laws. A debt from the time it comes due. There was recently a court case. There was a court case. Somebody showed me because the person went to court. Someone lent him money and it was payable on demand. In American law, someone is payable on demand, the clock starts ticking right away. On whatever number of years, if you don't collect, that you forfeit the money. What? Oh, you had the case? It was your case, I don't remember. And the case is still going on. Okay. And he argued that I lent him the money for renovations, so the clock doesn't start ticking till the renovations are over. He's using the money. That was his legal argument. But it sounds like a cruel law. I remember you showed it to me. I said, it can't be such a law. I lent somebody money, on demand. Besides, people lend money. They don't need it. They just in case they need it. So 3 years was the number, Taka. 3 years. It's incredible.
American Shemitah.
3 years. Okay. All right, let's learn Yud Aleph. Osir. Lisrapais bedivrei Torah. We have here a problem with all the mekubalim. It says here you're not allowed to use words of Torah, magic spells over a person, and heal a person. L'chein tinika gadol shenifka, a child or an adult shenifka who was injured. Ain't kind of love pasik. L'kamam b'klal shachas as we will have in peites chukas ha'akum. Which is very interesting, we're getting up to it on my trip, I just got back from LA. On my trip to LA, I took along, I knew I'll have 6 straight uninterrupted hours on the plane, in Geschmack. So I took along, they recently were put out two svarim with opposite opinions regarding the alternative medicines, whether the different things. So I was, every Shavuos night at 3 in the morning, I have to come up with something that catches people's imagination. So I figured I'll go through the alternative medicines. And the challenge is to figure out what is called Kishuf or Darkei Amayri, and what is Mutter. Now a person goes over to someone who's sick, and he goes like this, and he says a bunch of psukim, so that's Asur. It says Asur is rabbis. If I go over to someone, I put my hand on his head, and I say, Recha Hashem Yishmerecha, that's not Asur. A father does this all the time. What is the line? It's a very tricky line. One is a tefillah, and one is not. Those who go with the hands-on healing, they defend it with the fact that in halacha we find such a thing. You put your hand on his head and you, it's very interesting because when they bench the chasen kala, they bench the kala by the bedekin. So the father of the kala puts his hands on the kala. But the father of the chasen is also benegia, he can't put his hands. So some of them just go like this with their hand above the head and some just say yevarechacha. To me it looks a little funny, they go with their hands on the head. Manav shach, either you put the hands on the head or you don't put, you know. Do smicha, you don't do smicha. But we find by duchening, the Kohen Kol holds out his hand, he doesn't touch anybody. Holds his hands and he says it. So I'm not sure if there's a basis for this way or that way, but the problem is what constitutes refuah b'divrei Torah. Also, the Serapis b'divrei Torah. And okay, we'll wait for Klal Pei Tes. I guess we'll get to next week. And we'll try to see what the halachas are here in the Chachmas Adam, to be able to explain it. One more, Yud Beis, Mutter L'Reifei L'Hakiznam. There's another magic trick. You make a guy bleed and he gets better. U'L'Mashmeish Doifek. I don't know what exactly U'L'Mashmeish Doifek is. What? Takes pulse? But it's not checking. Mashmeish means to, massage the pulse. No? It's a type of massage therapy. Even in our place where Makam is Nus, Kedarach arriving, a doctor is busy with his refuah, a doctor is allowed to touch a woman. This is an important heter to Umnis, and therefore a man could drill the teeth of a woman, and it's not called derechiba. Derechiba drilling.